challenged by, she was in our church and heard me teaching on it. Is Greg Miller, it's the Bible, amen? The Bible tells us, preach the gospel to every creature. So she came up to me in tears. And I said, here's what you got to do. First of all, start by putting gospel tracts in with your bills when you pay your bills. Now, of course, this is before the internet. I'm going back a little ways. But some of us, I don't know about you, but I still pay some of my bills with envelopes. So you stick a little gospel tract in there. And then I said, now, anytime you go to McDonald's or Burger King or Burger Chef or Burger whatever or Tim Hortons or Chick-fil-A or wherever you go and you pay your bill, right next to that dollar bill or your credit card or whatever, hand a tract with it. Just right there. The tract and then the money or the card and just hand it to them. Now, a lot of times they'll look and say, what's this? And you say, oh, it's a little gospel tract. It's free. You can have it. And most of the time, they'll take it. But if they don't, and even if they throw it away or throw it back at you, God is happy with you for trying.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
And then that might happen to you a bunch of times. Then finally, you get used to it, and it doesn't bother you as much anymore. And then so forth and so on. We could go on with other examples. But that's what I'm just trying to tell you, that if you want to, you can start setting aside time to read your Bible. If you want to. If you don't want to, then you won't. But if you want to, you will. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. We've made it so easy these days. We've got MP3s. We've got DVDs. We got the Bible on DVD. I got it right here. This is the case here for Alexander Scorby on DVD. I'm so spoiled. I sit there in my chair this morning. I had a cup of coffee in one hand and Sebi in the other. And I popped on Alexander Scorby, and he read to me Psalm, I think it was 87, in my daily reading. And then I do a psalm or a proverb every day. And then I had Isaiah 31 through 33, I think is what I was reading today. I just sat there, and it's right there on the screen, and Alexander Scorby reading to me. It's coming in my ears and my eyeballs.
Amen.
And you know, there was that year, it was a full year of my life where I couldn't see. Year and a half. It's what I do. I let Alexander Scorby read to me.
Amen.
Amen. And you talk about it. It's so easy. And it is such an amazing blessing. I was just sitting there this morning thinking, this is so amazing. So amazing. Because we were talking Sunday about the fact that, you know, we take for granted the ability to read. We have Sister Jenny here that I think God's going to eventually open some doors so she can help some people, because a lot of people either can't read or can't read English. So she's a teacher of English as a second language. It's a great, can be a great ministry. We're praying about that. And in the past, the larger portion of the population was illiterate. So they would draw pictures. They'd have murals along church walls and inside churches and other walls around town where people could see stories of the Bible. Because otherwise they wouldn't even learn the Bible. And here we are. We get free education. It's terrible in a lot of ways. But at least they do teach us how to read. And if most churches and most cities have churches like ours, we have a stack of Bibles. I have some inside this thing right here where we'll give you a Bible. But if you can't afford one and you've got good vision, you can go to the general store, dollar store, and get one for a buck.
Amen.
And then you come here and you got your little Bible and everything, and we're like, well, if you've got a DVD player, we've got a DVD where you can watch it on DVD. Or if you don't have that, Sister Janie's got it on CD. Those used to cost like almost $200. They'd come down to about $65, and I got one dirt cheap. And when I find them dirt cheap, I'll grab them up and put them over here so if anybody needs them. So easy. And then look at what happens. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament.
Amen.
And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I believe this. The fool wastes his life not learning God's wisdom and not preaching the gospel. That's a fool. So don't be a fool, amen? Now think of that. We've done a study, and I can't remember how long ago it was. We did a study on this, being the children of light. And I believe it's a literal truth that believers will one day shine in His glory. Amen. And it's not just a figure of speech. Look at again. It says we will, the wise, if you're one of the wise, that means you're a believer in the gospel. Amen? That's where you're. If you don't believe the gospel, you're a fool. If you believe the gospel, you're wise, and now it's all about you just growing in wisdom.
Amen.
You're going to shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they that turn many to righteousness, that's those who preach the gospel and lead others to the Lord, shine as the stars forever and ever. You know what the world wants you to get excited about? I mean, they play the music, boom, boom, and they have all the you know, astronomical video that they can get of the stars and the planets, and most of it's CGI'd so it looks real flashy and everything, and boom, you know, and then they say, "You are made of stardust." Yeah, what's his name at Neil deGrasse Tyson and Carl Sagan and all this for years have been saying, isn't it exciting to know that you're made of the stuff of stars? That doesn't excite me because according to them, real soon we're all going to be pulverized and blown to bits into atoms with no memory, no consciousness, basically annihilated forever. That's what they want you to be excited about. In spite of that, though, get excited because you're made of stardust. You know what I think? I would rather shine like the stars forever than to be made of stardust and blow up. It's just an amazing thought. And it's when we're in His glory, see, we will shine with His glory. Exodus 34:29, when Moses was in His presence. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he didn't even realize it, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And it freaked everybody out. It was an amazing thing to see. Look at Matthew 17. We'll close it up with this thought, but a couple of passages we're going to read. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. Referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Verse 2, read that with me. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now that's exactly what happened to Moses. The exact same thing. Why was that? Because here is Jesus, he's being transfigured into his glory. It was a little taste of the glory. By the way, verse 28 is a verse that trips a lot of people up. I've had people claim they rejected Christianity because of verse 28. It said Jesus was a false prophet. Because in verse 28 of chapter 16, I should have told you the previous chapter. Verse 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. When did they see that? The next verses. That's what the man. That was a prophecy of these. He said, "Some standing here, who the six? I mean, or the three? I'm sorry, Peter, James, and John." 6 days after that, after Jesus said that, 6 days later, Peter, James, and John saw the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Why? They saw Him in His glory. Look at Mark chapter 9, a few pages over. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Now this time, the prophecy is in verse 1 and fulfilled in the next couple of verses. Verse 1 says, "And He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Now read the next two verses. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them. And His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." What's that mean? It means it was a supernatural shine. Supernatural light. And so that's Jesus in His glory, and it's what Jesus looks like today and will look like forevermore. We read about it over in Revelation 1. If you want to turn there real quick. Revelation chapter 1. Verses 12 through 16. I'll start reading as you turn there. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Verse 13, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Read verse 14. "His head and His hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and His eyes were as a flame of fire." 15. "And His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters." Go ahead and read 16. "And He had in His right hand 7 stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and His countenance was as the sun shineth in His strength." You know what happens if you stare at the sun? That's how bright Jesus looks in His glory and will forever. And that is what glorified saints will look like when we're with Him. You got to be glorified. You got to be born again so that you can be glorified, so that you can be in His presence. And when you're in His presence, you'll shine just the way He does. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." And you can't see Him as He is without being in glory. Amen. You would not only go blind, you would just go up in smoke. Poof. So back to verse 4 in Daniel chapter 12. And we'll close with this. Daniel 12 verse 4. We're told this. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And we're going to stop there and pick up there next time. But I do believe Daniel and Revelation are being unsealed. Amen. Progressively in these last days. Now, be careful. God's word will not change.
Amen.
But our understanding will increase. See? So there's a lot of guys out there trying to come up with all this new stuff out of nowhere. That's not the case. The case is that as you read Daniel and Revelation, we know more than they knew, for example, back even in the 1960s. You can go back and listen to the preachers then, and they knew a lot more than the people before 1948. Then the people before 1948, right there as Israel became a nation, they knew a lot more than the people who were alive in 1880 when they had the World Congress of Zionists. And those people knew a lot more than the Reformers. The Reformers couldn't hardly touch it. And the people before the Reformers couldn't even read it. See how that's happened? This right there is a very simple look at how, as the time of the end has approached, man's understanding continues to increase and increase and increase. By the way, that does not mean anyone will ever predict the rapture. So if somebody tries to sell you a book, don't buy it. And be careful not to fall into the false visions, Gnostic extra-biblical knowledge without the D, etc. There's all this stuff about visions on TBN, YouTubers out there. You don't know how many, and there's a lot of them are women. The mass majority of the ones I've seen are women. And they love to get on there, and I just want to share with the saints. I had a wonderful dream last night, and I have to share it with you. And a lot of times it has something to do with the rapture or the end times and everything, and it's not biblical. But people eat it up. Our videos have a couple thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 views on most of them. We've got a few that are, you know, up to like 20,000, 30,000 on these guys who get on there with their visions and dreams, hundreds of thousands of people watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah, near death, or I went to heaven and came back, or I went to hell and came back, or I have a vision, I saw the rapture, all this stuff. It's sad. I mean, I know people who won't sit down for a Bible study, but they'll watch hours of that stuff on YouTube. Any questions you want to ask before we close up? QA. Anybody? Johnny?
Here's a comment. I noticed when you were comparing the part where Jesus was prophesying about the end times, and then in Daniel, I thought it was interesting comparing that. In Daniel it says, since the time Israel became a nation, but then Jesus says, since the world began.
Yeah. Which would include the flood.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting it. My guess was, do you suppose that distinction was made because in Daniel it was the dual prophecy, perhaps?
Could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that one was more accurate than the other or anything like that, just in case anybody's thinking that. But it's just a matter of both statements are true.
Yeah.
If you want to just use the history of Israel as your measure, there's some, like I said, the pretty bad stuff. What happened with Nebuchadnezzar, what happened with Assyria. I mean, the Assyrians came down and took the Israelites and they would skin them alive and then hang them from a tree and let them die slow deaths with crows eating their eyeballs out while they're still alive. That's just one thing I'm going to tell you. I could go on and on with the descriptions of what it was like for the Israelites in the north who had committed apostasy and started offering their children to Moloch and all that stuff. And God just said, hands off. You belong to the Assyrians now. And Assyrians did that stuff. As bad as that is, what's to come's going to be much worse.
Yeah.
Jenny?
Online, we have a question. What stuff would be considered dressing as a male for women? Like Deuteronomy 22.
You know, I'm not trying to be smart with this answer. I'm just being honest. Anything that makes a woman look like a man. If you look like a man, then you need to stop. Now, to say, well, a woman should never wear a t-shirt unless it's got the short little skimpy sleeves, otherwise she'll look like a man. That's nonsense. A woman should never wear pants. That's a lot of preachers like to preach that. Well, I can bring in some pants, and those men won't have the guts to put them on. Because they'll look like women if they put them on. The question isn't what type of clothing. The question is, how does it look on you? Do you look like a girl, or you look like... Let me tell you something. I got dressed up. My dad, he may not even remember this. And it would be something instead of a... What do they call these memories these women are having?
Recovered memories.
My dad's got some that he's just totally expunged from his brain, probably, thanks to me. But they were having a trick-or-treat dress-up at Wheelersburg High School, and I think it was a sophomore. It might have been a freshman. And my sister, we were just doing it to be fun, and she dressed me up as a girl. I had slacks on, a sweater with makeup, and she fixed my hair to look, because the girls were all wearing the Olivia Newton-John short hair anyway. I walked downstairs thinking my dad and my mom were going to crack up. My mom about passed out, and my dad looked at me and said, "You are not going out of this house looking like that." Why? Because it wasn't funny. I looked like a girl. Now, if I'd come down with some wild-looking wig and clown makeup on and a big moo-moo or something, look like Hillary, you know, they would have laughed and probably let me go to school. But I came down looking like a girl in slacks, in a sweater. And my dad sent me upstairs. So I got dressed up as just a bum. I made myself look like a bum. I put on some torn clothes and everything and put stuff to make my face look dirty. And now, let me ask you, if wearing slacks is men's apparel, then he should have just said, take the makeup off. Right? No, it was, I look like a girl in those pants. So that's my answer, is it really, there isn't a list, isn't a decalogue. You don't have a 613 laws like they did in the Old Testament. What you have to do is just be honest and use common sense. And if you look like a woman, but you're a man, then there's something wrong. You need to change what you're doing. And sometimes the hairdos. Women get picked on a lot, but I've seen some of these men. There's this one guy, he had this hairdo where his hair just looked real poofed out, and the way he had it cut and the way he wore it. And it looked like a lot of women, the way women wear their hair. So someone who knew him talked him into going somewhere particular and getting a particular haircut. Night and day, man, the guy looked like a normal, masculine man. It was all about the hairdo. It wasn't long. It was short, but it was the way it was. You know, Kim, look at Kim's hair right now. My hair was that length when I was in high school, okay? Now, you look like a woman. When I had that length of hair, I still looked like a man. See? So that's why I don't go around saying if a man has hair down on his collar or over his ears that he necessarily looks like a woman. But then, when my sister would fix it, I'd look like Kim. And I'd look like a girl. And so that's the way it is. I hope that answers the question. There. I mean, the Bible does say, she didn't ask this or he didn't ask this, but not to wear things that pertain to a man or pertain to a woman, but I believe that means it's things that make you look like a man or make you look like a woman. Yeah, Joe.
Jesus, keep me from Calvary's mouth.
won't you stand as we sing these last two?
Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring His sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with His shadows o'er me.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.